Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We was talking about television and doing it on the radio. What we did was to help our generation realize they got to get out there and get busy because it wasn't going to be televised. We got respect for young rappers and the way they freeway in. But if you're going to be teaching folks things, be sure you know what you're saying. Older folks in our neighborhood got plenty of know-how. Remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be out there now. And I ain't coming at you with no disrespect. All I'm saying is that you damn well got to be correct. Because if you're going to be speaking for a whole generation, and you know enough to try and handle their education, be sure you know the real deal about past situations and ain't just repeating what you heard on a local TV station. Sometimes they tell lies and put them in a truthful disguise. But the truth is, that's why we said it wouldn't be televised. They don't know what to say to our young folks, but they know that you do. And if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? The first sign is peace. Tell all them gun-toting young brothers that the man is glad to see us out there killing one another. We raised too much hell when they were shooting us down, so they started poisoning our minds and trying to jerk us all around. And then they tell us they got to come in and control our situation. They want half of us on dope and the other half in incarceration. If the ones they want dead ain't killed by what they instigated, they can put some dope on the brother's body and claim it was drug-related. Tell them drug-related means there don't need to be no investigation, or at least that's the way they're going to play it on the local TV station. All your 9mm brothers, give them something to think about. Tell them you heard that this is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they're feeling the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They're feeling real independent, but they're just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally co-opted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down. Because we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes. And they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who's ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. We're talking about peace.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm your host, Dalton, president and founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Welcome to another edition of EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's topic, serious issues in our community. We have some serious issues going on in every inner city community in America. Our discussion tonight will be about the issues, the crime, the solutions, the faults, the environment. My personal view on the condition of our communities right now, they're in shambles. Leadership is poor, and community relations, period, are not good. Tonight, I invite you to share with me and the audience your view of what you think about the conditions in our communities today. I'm going to start off with our first caller, Brother Dr. Edgar Scott from the West Coast. Let me bring him in now.
Good afternoon, Vilton. Thanks for inviting me. I feel honored that you invited me. This is a serious
Always
issue.
Always a pleasure to have you, Doc. Always a pleasure to have you on.
I think the issues are so serious in our communities that they are multifaceted. And they aren't just, I hear people talking about them, and there seems to be, from my perspective, there seems to be a circle of problems, and they range, strictly from my perspective, it's like a blame game. Each group seems to blame the other group. And by that I mean it starts with the family, and since I'm in education as one of the groups that I work in, education, the parents send their children to the educational institution, and what happens from my perspective is there's an expectation that I think that education can do it all.
Mm.
And I think what happens is the students are a mirror of what's going on in society. And education cannot resolve all of the issues that are going on in society. And that's the first reality that we have to, the first hurdle that we have to overcome. Education can't do it all. And so we can't blame it all on the educators, and we can't blame it all on the educational system, and we can't come back at the educators and say, what are you doing wrong? We have a failing educational system, strictly from my perspective. Because we're getting your children, and my perspective is, what children are you sending us?
Okay.
Are you sending
us a large role? Plays a very large role. The kind
yeah,
of
are you
sending to schools?
Are you sending a child that's ready to learn? Are you sending us a child that his pants are up where they need to be, that'll come into class, that'll sit down and open his book when we ask him to, that's going to be respectful? Or are you sending a child that is going to be disrespectful, not going to open his book, not going to have his assignment, and not be prepared to learn? Which child are you going to send us? And I'm not blaming, I'm just saying what child are you going to send us?
Well, you know, a lot of these inner city youth are not coming out of structured homes, Doc, you know? So when they come into school, they come into school with a lot of issues.
You know, I understand
that. Lack of love, lack of no one's giving them an example of how they're supposed to act. You know, you're talking about as far as the pants pulling up. You know, some homes send their child out, or let's say this, male youth out to school, and their pants are up. But as soon as they hit the street and they get with their peers, you know, they make adjustments.
That's right.
Because I know some parents that don't allow that. No, you will not leave out of here with your pants hanging off your rear end. So, you know, they wait. They wait till they get around the corner or with their peers or whatnot. And, you know, they adjust their gear. And upon returning home, they fix it because they know their parents are not going to have it.
That's right.
So, you know, that element that's in the streets, as far as peer pressure, is very strong.
You know, I agree with that.
To be with us, you need to look like us.
Yes, I agree with that. I'm not saying that the peer pressure isn't there. In fact, I agree it is there, and I think it's very strong. It was when I was growing up and in the system also. What I'm saying is I think that we need to reconnect with the parents and with the family, and I think that school has an obligation. I believe the parents have an obligation. I believe that schools can do more, and I believe that the parents can be empowered and do have power, and they haven't been educated to know that they have power because the educational system has taught them that they're powerless. And parents believe that they're powerless. And in reality, the parents are powerful. Did you catch what I said?
I understood exactly what you said. The reality. They are powerful. They're not using the power they have.
That's exactly right.
They're not using it in the education system, and they're not using it in the community.
That's exactly right.
You know, one of the arguments you... Right. Hello?
Yes, okay.
I hear a lot, you know, and I'm quite sure you hear this, when certain things are going on in the community, one of the things you hear said is, I'm a taxpayer. I have rights. I think those rights should be executed on a consistent basis, not
exactly.
At a convenience.
Exactly.
Not at a convenience. You know, people in the community, for me, you pay taxes on your property, you know, you pay insurance, you pay.
Right.
Your say-so in the community is large.
And exactly.
The community does not use their power. They don't use
exactly.
It when it comes to their community leaders. You know, they don't tell them, listen, this is what we want, and it's not negotiable.
Exactly.
They don't do that. You know, they just seem to just let it go. And it's really, for our communities, it is time to let it go, stop the let it go attitude. It's really time to stop that, you know. Because we got a lot of issues. Number one, you know, in most communities that I see of color, there are not a lot of black-owned businesses. Let me say that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, every other nationality come into our communities and set up shop, okay? And at the same time, they will give, let's say, decent services. At the same time, they don't hire anyone from the community. Okay,
yes.
Now, especially now that summer's out, you have a lot of young who are looking for jobs, and there's no jobs out there, but you have these businesses in the community that don't hire them.
Yeah.
These communities come in, and they hire their own. They don't hire people from the community. And the community leaders allow this. I don't think that's right. How are you going to come into a community and set up shop and don't hire people from the community? Because I know for me, if we go into their community, we're not going to get a job. Let me say this. If we go in and set up shop in their community, open a business in their community, okay, we're going to have to hire people from their community. If they even let us come in and set up a business.
Okay.
Because I've yet to see a soul food restaurant in Chinatown. If there's one, someone please tell me.
Okay. Well, one of the things, Velton, that I would like to see is us getting away from the different groupings. First of all, number one, what we believe here in Vision Fusion, in our company, we have two companies. One of them is Vision Fusion, and actually three companies. Vision Fusion, Bridge Builders, LLC, and Scott's and Associates. In our companies, we believe one thing. Number one, as of July the 9th, 2011, there's only one race. It's called human. There's only one race.
Okay.
There's only one race. We use the term loosely, and we say of the different races. There's only one race. It's called human. There's different ethnic and cultural groups. Okay? There's different ethnic and cultural groups. As long as we keep separating and separating ourselves, we are never, ever going to resolve the issues that we have. We need to come to what we call a unity, common ground, because we are doing nothing with what we call diversity. We don't believe in it in any of our companies. We don't believe in it. We don't believe diversity works. It hasn't worked. It's not going to work. All it benefits is those people that have started companies and do diversity training is in those talking heads that go around the country every time something happens and somebody gets killed, and you have the talking heads that go around and are at the funerals and do the stuff and go do their talking and go to the companies and say, we're going to do whatever they do and get their money and go on. That's the only people that benefit from that sort of thing. We believe that we have to stop it, come to some type of common ground, and bring us together. There's only one race. It's called human. Let's get out of this separation concept and bring us together, because that's what it's all about. As far as being African-American, black, we all came from blackness. Okay? If somebody were to ask me, I get through it all by saying I see everyone as black, so it doesn't make any difference to me. If I had a business in New York, you would come into my business and you would see a rainbow of folks, so that wouldn't be an issue. It's not an issue at all. It never has been in any of the business that we have. It's not an issue. You come into our business and it's a rainbow of folks. Doesn't make any difference. It's rainbow, okay? You don't come into our business and see any of that grouping stuff. It's just not allowed. That dog won't hunt here. Does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just does not work. It's not tolerated. Does not work here.
Well, unfortunately,
stop it.
Right, and you know, I believe that can work. I really, truly believe it can work. You know, it starts with what you're doing, but overall, it's really not like that. We are separated.
Yeah,
we are
separated,
and that's the reality of it, you know. Look, we have a African-American man, family, and family in the White House, and since he's been in, there has been a great deal of separation. You know, I believe it was already there. It's just that now that he's in office, they're not hiding it no more. They're real open about it.
Yeah, but
they're real open
about it. Here's the reality of it. It has worked. It has been working. And the reality of it is we are attempting to, now that the cat's out of the box, and it has been out of the box forever, we all have been trying to put it back in the box. And it's been out of the box. What's happening now is each one of us needs to go ahead and let it out of the box, because if we'd look at our own families, let's just go ahead and separate now, have the conversation in our own lives. Look at your own life. Look at your own family. Look at the different colorations, quote, as African-Americans, look at your own families. Now, in our own business, in Vision Fusion, we have a model that we call the color line. And it starts out with the different colorations that we have. And number one, it starts out with being white. White's on top, and on the bottom you have black. And in the black, and we believe that, folks, the first thing you see is color. So people can stop lying when they say they don't see color. The only reason, if you don't see color, then you're colorblind. And we say that people see color. And even in the African-American culture, we see color. The lighter you are, the more you get. That's the way the system works, even with folks that are black. Come on, let's let it out of the bag. Let's talk about it. Let's have a courageous conversation about it.
Well, you know, Doc, I have to agree with you on that. You know why? I'm just, you ever see, I know you probably don't watch a lot of this, but, you know, every once in a while I watch these videos. And in the videos, you know, the women that are in these videos, the dark-skinned women are always in the back, and the light-skinned women are always in the front. You know, I noticed that. And, you know, I mean, you know, why are the dark-skinned women never in the front? If it's not the artist itself, then the dark-skinned dancer is in the back and the light-skinned dancers are in the front. Hold on a second, Doc. I got another caller here. 718-506-2329. Hello, caller. How are you today?
Hello, Tony. This is Lynn.
How are you, Lynn? Welcome to our show.
Good show so far. Good show.
say hello to Dr. Edgar Scott.
Hello, Dr.
How you doing, Miss Lynn?
Very good, very good, very good. I just, you guys really got me going here, you know. I'm telling you. And, you know, I'm half white and half black, raised in Jamaica, Queens. I'm 53 years old. So I have some of my own experiences, you know, that, like, I wasn't white enough to be with the white kids, and I wasn't black enough to hang out with the black kids. So I know about that separation thing very, very personally. And I agree with the, we have to look at us as a human race, but as far as I'm concerned, it's not. I don't really see it as racially so many problems. It's, to me, it's poverty. It's the classes. We're in a class struggle at the moment. Like one of the instances that, and it's an example of what we do to ourselves. But I think, like, to call our neighborhoods hoods. You don't hear any affluent neighborhood being called a hood, but everybody wants to say, I come from my hood. And you just, in that word, you take the word neighbor out of that. You know, the psychology behind that. you know.
I understand.
We're animals. But it's just an example of what we do to ourselves. But somebody needs to talk to the kids. Like a lot of our own people at my age, older, or maybe a little younger, like around your age, Tone. I mean, we all act like, or it seems as if we act like we're afraid to talk to these children. That we're afraid to say something. You know what I mean? For as long as you project fear, they'll never listen to you. Of course not. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Like I've just never had a problem with it. I've always been able to go to the corner store, and you know, I've never been disrespected by them, and so forth. I'm just very concerned more that they don't have any guidance. It's more poverty stricken. Your mother is a single parent. Your grandmother is a single parent. Your great grandmother is a single parent, and you're all living in the same home. You know. It's hard. That's rough.
Yeah.
And those are serious issues. Those are serious issues.
Very serious.
You know, that's what Doc started off with. You know, Doc
yeah.
read it. He said, you know, the type of student that they're getting in these schools, look at where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and then trying to talk to them, as you said, on the street, they sense fear. They know when you're afraid of them.
Right, but
yeah.
the education venue is so old, you can't even count on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way they're even teaching these children is so old that they're bored to death. Those that are, that do have some interest or some, you know, in whatever, they're teaching them from books, you know, that have been thrown away, you know, from other schools. You know, so we can't, I do see it in my neighborhood because I live in a black neighborhood. However, that does not mean that that's the only neighborhood. All you have to do is be poor. That's all you have to do. You either the working poor or poor. That's it. You know what I mean? Like they're still talking about putting the Bush tax thing back on, and all the big boys are going to get the money. I even understand that in an economy you have to have some poor. Like that thought of okay, well, who's going to you know wash the dishes or who would. You know, sweep the floors or, you know, so forth. So you're going to have some poor. And that, but they, really, like right now, there's a war. I look at it as a war. It is a straight, all-out war. It's like an us against them, and they're really pitting us against each other. You know what I mean? For as long as any person is worried about when the next meal is going to come from, are they going to be able to pay their rent? How are they going to feed these children? For as long as those are the things that they're worried about, they're missing everything. I mean, they're missing everything that the government is doing because they're not paying any attention. They don't have time. You know what I mean? Like, Tony, you know my wall. I post everything on my wall. Just please look. Please pay attention because things are going, you know, on around us. And, like, in our neighborhoods, they're not even going to flood it because – you got, what, 75% of the people in the neighborhood doesn't vote because we don't mean anything to them.
Mm. Wow.
You know, it's just,
wow.
It's scary. It's scary for me to just watch a neighborhood just fall down like this, you know.
I'd like to
Sorry,
respond.
I got a little emotional.
Oh, no.
It's okay. I love it. I love
yeah.
every minute of it. Go ahead, Doc. I love every minute it is.
I do, too. I'd like to respond to a couple things. Lynn, a couple of things that you say spurred some things in me. And I came from a little farm town in Ohio. And when you say poverty, a lot of the things that you're saying really... education, I was talking to my nephew last night, and we were chatting, and what I said to him was, he reminds me of me, and he's a man now, he's growing in his manhood,
mm-hmm.
and what I said was, I cry a lot when I talk to him, because I see him following my footsteps, and it makes me just... so much more solid in my belief system and that I'm doing the right thing and that I just feel honored. And when you talk about poverty and you talk about not having and you're talking about all of those things, I grew up and I had one sport jacket. I had one suit. I didn't have all the luxuries. I didn't know that we were probably not that, we probably weren't middle class until I was in grad school. And so when somebody talks about poverty, I'm saying that there's something called desire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something called your mind. And there's something called that comes from your home and your family and people telling you that I can remember my granddad and my grandmother and my mom, because my mom was a single mom, saying, "You're going to be better than us," and my ancestors passing it on, saying, "You're going to be the best that you can be." College wasn't a choice for me. It was, "You're going to get out of here and be the best that you can be." And so I hear what you're saying. However, we can no longer fall back on and let that be a stumbling block for us. It's been 400 years.
No more excuses.
And so,
that's what you're saying, Doc? No more excuses?
No. And so I work with these kids every day. And,
right.
And I've seen, I tell you what, a success rate, I've probably had 99% success with kids that you say are in poverty. We have a young lady right now that seven kids in her family that we're sending to college that probably is coming from this kind of system. So for
right.
me, I can't accept it.
Right.
For me, in my family, failure is not an option. Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. So I can't accept it. When I see these brothers and sisters on the block, they do not scare me. I don't care how many nines they're packing. I go up to them, I talk to them, and I'm successful. So when people say they're lost, I said, "You're nuts." and so to me, we're missing it. We are missing it. And so I hear you.
Right.
I respect you, but I think educationally we have missed opportunities. The educational system.
I think we have a lost generation, but I would like to, and when I say a lost generation, there are so many. And if you, on your points with the, when we were growing up, in my age, like I said, I'm 53. So when we were growing up, we had Martin Luther King, we had great, you know, Malcolm X. We had people that were telling, James Brown was singing, "I'm Black and I'm Proud," and you know, Jimi Hendrix, and we were doing all kinds of stuff. Today, look at you guys were just talking about the images that is being portrayed as being hip today is not walking around with a peace sign and being against war. It's packing nines and shaking your booty on the camera.
Right.
So
exactly.
What is being drilled into them, they're actually only emulating what they've seen, which that's what people do. You emulate what you know. So if they're not educated, it is all about the education. My thing, I truly believe that young women, young underprivileged or, you know, disadvantaged women need to be educated as quickly as possible, because that's where all your mothers are. You have a bunch of young mothers with children, and they're not coming from any type of education because their family is not educated in anything. And it's surrounded by people who are of no, are of the same level. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they're all, nobody's a little bit, you know, or nobody's like you, doctor, that's sitting there going, you can do this. You know what I mean? You can do this. And I'm not, just like you're saying, and I'm not standing for a no. You're going to come and do this, you know. I had that. That was my family. Now, I come from privilege, to be really honest.
Yeah.
I went to all private schools and all of that stuff. It's just that I just couldn't watch it. There was so many times because I'm light-skinned. Because my resume says St. John's. Nobody asked me if I could have been a dumbest son of a pickle up there in St. John. But they gave me the job because I'm light-skinned and I'm from St. John's and I speak English well.
Yeah.
I taught my daughter, you have to be trilingual. How you speak in the home, how you speak to your friends, and how you speak professionally. But who is teaching these kids that? You know what I mean? Nobody's, like, grabbing a hold of them. So that's it. Like, this, I'd love to educate. Yeah. Right now I'm working with a friend of ours, actually, Tony, you may know her, Femi. And she's a wonderful person. She has a wonderful idea. And it's all about Jewel's House. I like the idea of educating young 15- to 18-year-old women that have a child.
Right.
Get them now.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of them out there.
That's right.
Most definitely. You need help.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. I got some callers here on the line. I don't want to leave them swinging too long. I'm going to bring in Brother T from Thoughts of a Black Man. How you doing, T?
What's going on, sir?
Have you been listening?
Yes, sir. I've been listening. I didn't know you knew I was on here. I was just listening and getting the input and soaking it all up and hearing the hearts of others.
Yeah. We're waiting for you, brother.
Huh? Are you on the discussion, or you just want to listen?
I wanted to hear the hearts of others because, you know, we always. You know, me and Doc, we always on the spoken side, and sometimes it's good to be on the listening side just to hear the hearts of others. But we got several wars outside our doorsteps, and we got to find the remnant that are on the same level that we have to go out and be good steward of. Now that we have accountability of what needs to be done, my point from this end is from getting it done and moving quickly, because it's a warfare outside, and we see it, but other people don't. They think it's a tradition, it's a norm. So from being a insider looking outside, we need more reinforcement, and we need more people to care. And I said that about that on Facebook today.
Yep. And I think one reason and that we don't see more people in Velton, I thought about this today, that and T, I want you to hear this. One of the reasons that I think that we aren't getting a lot of hits, that people aren't responding a lot, is, and they respond a lot to. They put the baby pictures up there, and they got 50,000 hits on that, and they got their business things up there, and they get 50,000 hits on that, and then we got all these kids that are being killed, and there's nobody hitting on that, and I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking that at all. But I think they believe that there's nothing that they can do about it. And I'm of the opposite mindset. I really am. Because I really think that there is something that we can do about it. And I think there's something that we can do about it now.
And I think
there's action that we can take now. And I think there's education, that education is the key now. And I think systems that we're putting into place are the systems that need to happen now. And I think things like thoughts of black men, enough is enough, dads on duty, are organizations that are growing and that need to happen and are asking for all people. The titles don't mean anything. They're just a group of folks that are saying we need help and these are issues that are important and please come and help us. And I think they're asking for folks to come and help us. And it's a call to action. And I think some of the things that we're coming up with is things that you can do that work. And we need a sense of connectedness. It's like educators. Things that need to happen with educators is there's things that educators can do to connect with families to make them feel welcome in schools.
Hold on, Doc. I got a lot of callers here, and this is someone who's been holding on for almost 12 minutes. I've got to let him in. That's caller 862-252-9246. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard, sir. Who's calling?
My name is Rasul Amin. I represent independent ministry, and my theme is how to put the neighbor back in the hood, and I'm calling from East Orange, New Jersey. How's everyone
Welcome.
Tonight?
Welcome. We're great. Welcome.
I came in when the... It sounds like an echo. Is that me?
Yeah, do you have on your computer or something in the background? You have the speaker on?
Might no, I'm nowhere near my computer.
I don't know. Okay, you sound okay now, though. Go ahead.
Okay. I came in when the gentleman was saying that he walks up to the youth in the streets, and he's not taking no as an answer. He goes up and speaks with them, and he also said something to the effect about getting away from titles. And those two things stuck with me because one of the problems that we're having is there's not enough men out here in the streets spending time
That's
with the
right.
youth.
That's right. I don't mean to cut you off, but I fully agree.
There's nothing wrong with these youth except for they're misinformed. They're not bad. When I go to these gang meetings, you hear a lot of the elder people talk about how bad they are, and they're just misinformed, and they want someone to talk to. And believe you me,
yep.
where I live, it's a blood crip situation. I have 7 children, and I still have time to spend amongst the community because I come from this community. I was born and raised here. And I go up and I spend time with them, talk with them, and listen, they'll stop what they're doing and hear what you got to say. They say, well, listen, let's hear what Rasul got to say. And they'll open up, and there'll be times that you know you need to step off, but they'll get used to you. Another thing that we do is, I take them to the masjid not to convert them to Islam, but we give them an open mic and let them talk to us and let them express how they feel. And we talk to them about the history of the time we got off the slave ships up until today. You know, the world is too small for selfish expressions. I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm Jew. We have a lot of work to do. These kids are in an environment of language that is so dangerous that it knocks out the family structures that are strong, the two parent family structures, the kids that are coming out of the good households. But the language that they're getting, Lil Wayne, the rapper, I'm not talking about him and I'm not talking about the rappers, but I'm talking about what produces in them. That's what we want to hate, not them. He had an album. He sold 1 million copies in a week out of a prison. The title was "I'm Not a Human Being." That's a dangerous language to put out here to a people that's not thinking.
That's
Nike
tough.
Got a slogan.
Yes, sir, it is.
Nike got a slogan, "Just Do It." That's a dangerous slogan. See, what has happened with African Americans, we are a wounded people that need a healing. And Martin Luther King said we have to X-ray our past to understand where we're going. So it's a lot of work that got to be done. But I'm talking to the men my age, 54 and younger down there, 30. You got to come out of these houses of worship. You got to come out of these houses, and you got to hit these streets and spend some time
right.
with these brothers and sisters, and things will get happening. Don't sit back and talk about them, how bad they are. And we got to create some jobs, man. That's one of the main things. We got to create some kind of work. If you got any kind of skills, I'm in construction. You know, you spend some time with them, man. Teach them how to paint, carpentry, whatever, man. So, you know, every tub shall set on its own bottom. No bear burden shall bear the burden of another. You should carry your own cross. The problem with us in our community in African American is on us, man. Stop pointing the finger at this person or that person.
That's right.
Let's get it together. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
My brother, thank you so
much.
I got another caller here. Caller, your number is 615-574-8418. Good evening. How are you?
How are you? This is Reggie Bullock, producer of the DVD A War for Your Soul. I'm not here
Welcome.
To talk about the...
Reggie!
Yes. I'm not here to promote the video or talk about it, but what I'm here to do is support what you guys are doing right now, what everybody's doing. I'm sitting back and I'm hearing this, and I'm like, you guys are nailing every single aspect, the solutions, every single thing. But I just want to share with you three things. Really quickly, I've traveled the country. I've spoken about 60 cities over the past 18 months. And so I've had a chance to meet and mingle a lot of people that are all doing the same thing that you guys are doing tonight, talking about tonight. And I met this one sister from St. Louis. She used to be Dick Gregory's press secretary. And I asked her, I said, listen, when I go out and talk to the masses, what would you recommend me saying, being in your 70s and going through the whole civil rights era? She said, we need to leave our titles at the door. She said, do not go and talk to the young kids. Don't talk to the kids that are in college. You need to talk to the adults with these so-called titles, with these so-called backgrounds that have made it, because their egos. If you want to help the children, you get together in a room, you leave with a plan to help the children. But you see, their egos always get in the way and keep them from doing the job that they're supposed to do. So that's one of the things I would recommend to all of those who are involved in organizations. Let your ego go. Go help the organization out. Stand on those street corners. Talk to those kids and help them out, as you brothers had suggested. The second thing is, if you truly want to change the situation, you don't have to point fingers. There is some kid in your neighborhood, and even if you don't live in a neighborhood like that, you can donate money, you can go to find an organization, and you can help some child in a library somewhere. So there's no excuse that you can't do. And the last thing I want to say is this, and this is mind-boggling. In the beginning, as an African-American man, you get filled with despair. You see these stories on TV all the time about how the hood and they're falling apart and there's no help and what are we going to do? But the thing that has bothered me the most is the fact that radio shows like what you have going on now and Brother Rasul just hearing what he's doing, that's not reported. So I'm here to say that I think the tide is going to change because there's so many of us that are not afraid that are reaching out to our children left and right. And I applaud every single person, the sister that was on, I applaud all of you for doing what you're doing. But please don't stop. Do not think that this struggle is too hard. It really, you are really making a difference much more than what you can imagine. And I say that from the experience of the last 2 years of seeing all of the changes that folks, without the names and titles, folks like you are changing it. You really, really are. So keep doing that. And I hope I didn't take up too much of your show there.
No, brother.
Not at all, Brother Reggie. It is so good to have you on. I've been trying to contact you. I know you've been busy because I see your postings. You're always here. You're always there. It is a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And please keep, like I said, I'm being very serious when I say this. Please keep doing what you're doing. You have no idea. I've been blessed with this one thing. Because of the film and how it's become a hit, I'm hearing from all of my former students. I'm 52 years old. So now I'm hearing from students that are 30 and 40 years old. And I'm hearing the difference that I made. And I didn't know I was making a difference back then. So I was lucky enough to hear and see the end result. But it took 20 years to hear that, and it took a hit film to hear that. So I'm telling every single one of you that has stopped a kid and spent one second with a child, building his confidence. 1 second, you have changed that kid's life forever. And especially when black men look at younger black men and tell them I'm proud of them, and they have never heard a black man say that other than the drug dealer that's trying to get them to sell drugs for them. They have never heard that. And when you say that, you have no clue what you're doing to their mindset, because it's almost like a strange thing. Like, wait a minute, did he just say he loved me in a weird way? This is strange. So please continue to do that. We need more of it. I thank you, my brothers, for doing what you're doing.
Thanks again, brother. I got another caller here. I got to bring this caller in because we only got about 10 minutes left. Caller 347-653-5528. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. My name is Renee.
Hi, Shanae. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. But, you know, I want to thank you once again for continuing to have this venue for us to get it together. And, like, I agree with what he was saying. I feel that most people, I feel like most of us in our community are tired of what's going on. But, you know, a lot of them don't know how and where, you know. But we have to keep persevering. And my mind always goes back to, you know, I was thinking of how it was when the civil rights movement first started and how I'm sure that it was a struggle. And it seemed like in the beginning that they weren't going anywhere, but eventually, you know, they came out successful. So we have to keep going. We have to keep persevering. You know, whoever that don't know me on the line, you know, my son was murdered last year, Kedrick Ali Mall Jr., on May 15th. And since then, I've met so many mothers and parents that have lost their kids to violence. And everyone wants to get involved, but they don't know how. And I also like when he said leave the titles at the door, because often the average person that, you know, I've met people who don't get any airplay or aren't on the news but doing everything to, you know, to save our community. It's a matter of us all coming together somehow. You know, that we can all find some way to, because I've never heard of, what is it, Dads on Duty?
Yes,
right.
I've never heard of that. It's my first time hearing of it.
They're based in Georgia.
They're based in Georgia?
Yes.
Atlanta, okay. Georgia, yes.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, but, you know, just getting it out there and so many people I talk to, they want to, but they just don't know how. They don't know where to begin. So what would you suggest?
You get them involved. You know, you get him involved. You have your foundation going on. You ask him, well,
yes,
come and be a part of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them what they can bring to the table, what skills they may have or may not have. You know, because
right,
sometimes it's just simple things you need them to do.
Right,
you know,
which I do on my
word,
end. I'm
getting the
myself.
Word out, getting
mm-hmm.
the word out, getting other people to get involved.
I have a suggestion as well, and it would be good if the communities would do a monument of the remembrance of the kids that were killed, to remind people and the kids in the streets of how many people, kids died. And maybe we'll do it in the museum over here at Flesh and Metal Park, the museum there. They probably would honor us to come in and do a small reference to the women and the people that lost their kids. And maybe we can all put together a monument that would stop people or have people to actually see how many kids were lost on a tribute to the kids that were lost and that were killed. And it would encourage those who were or were going to kill back up, because
mm-hmm.
we have the monument from the people that we lost from 9/11, but we don't have a monument for the kids that were killed. And I think that would make a great impact on others that are that would see that war with the kids that have died and were killed in the streets. And that you take your child to that same monument and give that kid a thought of how or what happened. Go ahead, Doc.
I think two things. One of the things that's happening is in one of our businesses, my wife's business in particular, there's an alignment of all of the planets. And what you're going to see happening now that's happening is the things that went on in the 60s are coming back, and they're coming back strong. They're coming back really strong. And I don't care whether you believe this stuff or not, but the stuff that happened during the 60s, they're going to come back really, really, really strong. And so you can remember that.
Movement. I see it as a grassroots movement across the nation.
So you can my wife can talk about this. She's not in the office right now, so I'm going to say it for her. The marches and all the other stuff that's happening, you are going to see this stuff fire up in a way that you did in the 60s. I've seen some things happen in the last 3 weeks that have blown me away. I've had students come to me when I was going through some things with Arthur Johnson. Remember Tony, my little boy, my wife's young man that got killed through gang violence? It blew me away. I've taken it really hard. Arthur Johnson, 18 years old, just turned 18, gang violence. I'm still having a tough time with it. I had three young ladies, went to school early, come by. I hadn't had that much contact with them, weren't on my caseload. They came in and said, "Dr. Scott, we just want you to know we wrote you a little poem, and we just want you to know that we love you." They walked out of my office, and I broke down and sobbed because they said that we know that you're going through something right now. Arthur Johnson.
You're a dedicated man, Doc. You're a dedicated man. God bless you for it.
We'll be done with our second book in about 3 weeks. We're dedicating the second book about students at the secondary level. It's dedicated. It's going to be dedicated to Arthur Johnson. T, you came up with something that really rocked me right now. And you know what? It really rocked me in a way that really brought something back to me. You know, we have a Vietnam wall in Washington, D.C. Why don't we have a wall in New York about all these kids that have died, similar to the Vietnam wall?
Well, you know what they do, Doc? You know, in a lot of the neighborhoods, they paint murals on the abandoned store walls or building walls. They make murals of a lot of the young youth who have went down in the streets. You know, I agree with T. Some type of monument would be nice.
That would be a great thing.
But Doc, what hurts is that when you know Kedrick was such, my son was such a good kid. I mean, he was on the honor roll, and he had obtained an academic scholarship. Those are the type of kids that are being killed. It's not the quote-unquote gang members or you know, I mean, it found its way to my home, a two-parent household.
Yeah.
We had come through where we checked the book bags and made sure that he didn't go down the wrong road. And it's still, violence still found its way to my doorstep. A good kid. I mean, before he was killed, the teachers were saying that Kedrick was a pleasure to have in their class. And he ended up still being a statistic.
Hold on, a second. Brother Rasul, are you still there?
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment, if I could. I know you only got
before
a couple of
minutes. Before you make your comment, because we've got about 60 seconds, listen, please contact me. My website is eie-soc.yolasite. That's yolasite.com. Please go to the website and leave your contact information. You want to go ahead with your comment? We got about 30 seconds.
I'm so sorry. Could you give that to me again? I got a pen right now.
It's eie-soc.yolasite.com.
Yolasite.com.
Right, Yola.
Okay.
YOLASITE.com.
Okay, I'll send you my information, and it'll come up Independent Ministry. I have a webpage also. My comment, what I wanted to say was one of the things that they do in Baltimore, they have a program in Baltimore where they take the youth to the morgue to see some of the young brothers and sisters that had just recently been killed by gang violence. But the children have to have permission, you know, from their parents and school.
Right.
And this program,
yeah.
man, has really, like, it has done wonders with these kids after they went in there and seen their peers in that condition. You know, that's taking place in Baltimore. And I wanted to say the brother that did the piece, War for Your Soul, I got hold of that piece a year ago, and I tried to contact him, and I couldn't because I wanted permission to push that. And I want him to know, if he's listening, that I have given out 2,000 of those DVDs in the New Jersey area. They have copied them, pushed them in the church. That was a powerful DVD, and I was pushing that. So I wanted him to know that. I never was able to meet or contact him. But keep up the good work. I'm going to reach out to you. Anybody listening, my webpage is www.indpministry.info.
Thank you. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for a great show. Thanks for calling in. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Again, my name is Velton, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. And as always, no violence, we will truly know peace. Good night.
Good night.
We all got a spirit inside that's angelic. We can't keep fearing the light, let it develop. Whose people shine nearly as bright, I can't tell it. My band's out 70 strong, just like fellas. A heatwave like Martha in the Vandellas. The way it's going down in the world is scandalous. Folks visiting the street and the New York top sellers. As we advance from rock sellers to rock sellers and drop some of the most popular acapellas. You got the lovers, the cold-blooded soul brothers, asleep with our head on the pillow under the covers. How long will it take us to learn from one another? That respect is nothing to earn from one another. We can change how the world turns from one another. Let's show a little common concern for one another. Wake up.
Niggas, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. To what you have to say, 'cause everyone's too caught up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. And who catch all the hell? They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Hey, to wake up all the buildings, time to build a new land. So I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we gotta do is put it. Hey, the world won't get no better.
can't do it alone. Come on, better wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Come on, wake up, everybody, yeah. Oh, I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. I need a little help, y'all. Come on, come on. I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. I need a little help, y'all. Come on, come on. I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. I need a little help, y'all. Come on, come on. Hey, I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. I need a little help, y'all. Come on, come on. I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. I need a little
soprano section.